Q106.7 weather.
Here's your KQNK forecast. An extreme cold warning and winter weather advisory begin at 6 p.m. tonight. Slight chance of snow today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. High of 14, winds out of the east, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Snow likely, lows dip down to about 8 below. 3 to 5 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow night. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm Staff Meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 13 degrees.
Kansas Information Network News, I'm Jen Austin. The Wichita City Council appears to be close to raising the rent for a local disc golf business.
Duck's Flying Discs is a disc golf pro shop inside the old clubhouse at Clapp Park in Wichita. The business made headlines last year when it was discovered the city was only charging $400 a month for rent and had not increased the rent according to the contract. On Tuesday, the City Council will vote to raise that rent to $700 per month, plus $200 for utilities, with the rent rising by $100 each year for the next 2 years. I'm Jared Cirillo.
A detour in northwest Kansas will last for several months. The Kansas Department of Transportation is alerting drivers that Kansas Highway 23 will close south of Hoxie in Sheridan County from March 31st until sometime this fall. An open house is scheduled for March 3rd at the Hoxie Community Center to provide information. The project won't be completely finished until sometime in 2026. This is Kansas Information Network News.
With today's inflation straining your budget, your Kansas Farm Bureau membership can help keep more money in your pocket. Save up to 75% off preferred home and office products with Office Depot. Special package pricing with Lifeline screenings. Exclusive savings on post-frame buildings with QSI. And join the Kansans who've switched to Kansas Farm Bureau health plans. And enjoy significant savings on nationwide medical health care coverage. Join today. For a full list of benefits, visit kfb.org/benefits.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Hadley with your KQNK News, brought to you by Firebolt Ag, LLC, serving all of your chemical and fertilizer needs. A proposed Senate bill would permit year-round fireworks sales from permanent retailers and expand the window around Independence Day for pop-up vendors. As Senate Bill 199 would allow temporary vendors to sell fireworks from June 20th to July 7th. Currently, sales are restricted to June 27th to July 5th. Similar bills have been introduced over the last 5 years, and a 2022 version made it to the Senate floor, though it failed 34-2, and the 2023 and 2024 bills failed to advance. Missouri allows the year-round sales of fireworks, and Nebraska and Oklahoma offer permits from December 28 to January 1st for New Year's, though SB 199 would not add a December permit. Nobody testified against the bill on Tuesday, but in the past, concerns were raised over the increased probability for wildfires. And Mark Inkholm, the Kansas fire marshal, who identified his testimony as neutral on the bill, noted that extra staff would be needed to handle increased registrations and increased inspections. He also noted safety concerns, saying he thinks everyone understands that increased time equals increased sales, and that equals increased fireworks that will be used, and that would also equal increased injuries and fire loss in the state. The Kansas Department for Children and Families reminds Kansans who are needing assistance with winter energy bills that they can apply for the Low Energy Income Assistance Program, or LEAP. And the applications will be accepted until 5 p.m. on March 31st. LEAP provides a one-time per-year benefit to help qualifying households pay their winter heating costs, whether the home is heated with electricity, natural gas, propane, or other home heating fuels. In 2024, over 40,000 Kansas households received an average benefit of $645. To qualify, households must have an adult at the address responsible for the home's heating costs, and applicants must be at or below 150% of the federal poverty level. The level of benefit received varies according to the household income, the number of people living in the home, the type of residence, the type of heating fuel, and the utility rates. Applications can be accessed online at dcf.ks.gov by clicking the Apply for Services button on the top right side of the website. LEAP applications will be accepted until 5 p.m. on March 31st, and you can learn more about LEAP in Kansas, including frequently asked questions, other community resources, and the complete schedule of LEAP application events at dcf.ks.gov. Funding for LEAP is provided by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of Community Service through the Federal Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program. Information about the 2025 Kansas Legislature and Legislative Session is only an email, online chat, or phone call away on the Legislative Hotline for Kansas at 1-800-432-3924. Kansas Legislative Hotline is a trustworthy resource for state residents with questions about the Kansas Legislature, and it's staffed by professional reference and research librarians. Kansans are encouraged to call the Legislative Hotline to learn who their legislators are and to access their legislative contact information, check the status and history of bills, understand the legislative process, locate historical information, and other inquiries related to Kansas government. State Librarian Ray Walling said it's critical for Kansans to have access to accurate and timely information about state government and issues that matter to them most. And by using the Legislative Hotline, Kansans can be assured they will get the information they need from a trusted source, trained librarians from their state library. Kansas residents can connect with the Legislative Hotline by phone at 1-800-432-3924, online chat at library.ks.gov/chat, and by email at infodesk@ks.gov. Live assistance is available Monday through Fridays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and messages left by voicemail or email are promptly returned on the next business day. Additionally, Kansans can engage in real-time conversations with librarians through the Ask a Librarian service at library.ks.gov/chat. Two people were injured in an accident just before 11 a.m. on Friday in Ellsworth County. The Kansas Highway Patrol reported that a 2020 Ford Explorer driven by 54-year-old Michael L. Berggren of Oakley was eastbound on Interstate 70 near the Sylvan Grove exit. The SUV traveled over a slick spot while snow was blowing across the highway, and the vehicle entered the median, stuck a drain gate, went airborne, rolled, and came to rest on its top in the median. EMS transported Berggren and a passenger, 39-year-old Chelsea Schlitz of Oakley, to Hayes Medical Center. Berggren was not wearing a seatbelt, according to the Kansas Highway Patrol. In Nebraska news, Nebraska troopers reported that a man was caught drinking and driving near downtown Lincoln early on Friday morning with cocaine, marijuana, and a loaded gun in his vehicle. 37-year-old Kevin Parrott of Lincoln was pulled over a little after 3 a.m. for speeding and driving on the shoulder. According to troopers, Parrott had glassy and bloodshot eyes, and a trooper saw two open alcoholic drinks, and the arrest affidavit showed the trooper also smelled marijuana. Parrott then failed a sobriety test and refused to cooperate with two officers. Troopers said they searched his pickup truck and found four open containers of alcohol, about 35 grams of raw marijuana, about 110 grams of marijuana wax, about 10 grams of cocaine, a plethora of items with drug residue, and there was also a loaded 9mm handgun. Parrott, a convicted felon, is banned from owning firearms. Parrott is charged with possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver and possession of a firearm by a prohibited person. On Thursday, a judge set his bond at $250,000, and he must pay $25,000 to be released. He's due back in court on March 13th. The Lincoln Police Department arrested a man on Sunday after he charged officers with a knife. Just after 12:30 p.m., officers were sent to an area near 48th and L Streets after a caller said someone was breaking windows. And when the officers arrived, they found 33-year-old Donald Johnson armed with two knives and walking north. According to the Lincoln Police Department, Johnson was walking towards the initial officer while yelling, and the officer reversed in his vehicle. A second officer then told Johnson to drop the knives, but he refused to do so. Johnson was then hit by the first officer's cruiser and fell to the ground. However, he then got up and ran towards the second officer with a knife, and he was hit by a taser. Officers then took Johnson into custody. The Lincoln Police Department said Johnson spit at a Lincoln Fire and Rescue paramedic that responded to the scene. And after Johnson was released from the hospital, he was lodged for second-degree attempted assault on an officer, use of a deadly weapon to commit a felony, and assault with bodily fluid on an officer. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Firebolt Ag is a full-service fertilizer and chemical retailer. They customize products for individual farmers' needs, with the primary focus being customer profitability. Let Josh and Jack help you get the most out of your farm ground. They also provide in-house marketing with Ron Wall of Flatwater Solutions. Visit Ron in Phillipsburg or call Josh at 785-854-8484 or Jack at 308-840-2819. Firebolt Ag, your leader in agriculture.
According to the unofficial minutes of the Norton County Economic Development Meeting that was held on February 11th, the Norton County Economic Development Board met at 5:45 p.m. at the Economic Development Office, and the meeting was called to order by John Griffiths. The members present included Andrew Black, Wally Burton, John Griffiths, Aaron Hale, Dell Jacobson, Marvin Matchett, Sam Nicholson, Julie Peterson, and Dick Thompson, along with the Executive Director, Dallas Goslin, and Amy Levine, the Administrative Assistant. The January meeting minutes were approved. Mr. Goslin, the director, discussed the recent legislative day in Topeka and strides made by the Norton delegation. He reported that this year, part of the delegation met with the Kansas Insurance Commissioner and made solid progress on reimbursement rates for Valley Hope, which will aid their sustainability. In a meeting with Senator Rick Billinger, the senator noted that Norton is a rare gem of industrial strength in Northwest Kansas, a trait that would continue to serve Norton in growth and success for years to come. Additionally, Dallas and others had a meeting with Parks and Wildlife, wherein it was established that they would make not only the necessary repairs to the dock at Sebelius Reservoir, but would extend it. And since Dallas has returned, he's worked to get an additional list of other minor repairs that will also be fixed. The work should be completed by the beginning of the 2025 boating season. Dallas provided an update regarding the upcoming child care facility. The architecture firm met with the child care provider and went over the plans for the facility, as well as various regulations and fire codes. Everyone's very confident and pleased with the progress being made, and Dallas advised that the Norton County Community Foundation had generously secured a substantial tax credit gift for the project. A recruitment incentive contract for a new police officer, Elias, was presented with a vote to approve the disbursement being unanimous. The director also had an update on the East Site development regarding some developers that were reaching out and expressing an interest in purchasing lots to build on. And additionally, there are several area residents who are exploring home building, with the new housing cooperative loan program being a big factor. And finally, Dallas announced that he's in some very preliminary discussions regarding a plot of land that could potentially house a commercial operation. After fielding a few questions regarding the director's report, with no further business to conduct, the meeting was adjourned at 6:29 p.m. Norton's head wrestling coach, Bill Brockelman, reported on the weekend wrestling matches, starting with the Goodland Duel that was held on Thursday, February 13th. Coach reported that the boys wrestled well in a duel where they had to bump up quite a few to fill more weights, and it worked out well for them. He said overall it was good for the boys to get one match in the week before regionals to knock off some of the jitters and help them relax and make them weigh in. Norton also had Daniel Hildebrand step in to the lineup at 106 pounds. He was able to secure a victory for them, and this earned him the boys wrestler of the week. The boys will compete again this week on Saturday at Cimarron for regionals. Coach Brockelman reported that on Friday, February 14th, Norton took their junior varsity and younger varsity kids that had points available to the Bill Voss Invitational, and it was a great weekend for some of them to end on. He said they competed well, and all came back with some sort of victory. Norton crowned one champion, Braylon Linden, who won all of his matches by fall, one runner-up in Michael Urban, a third place in Daniel Hildebrand, a fourth place in Alex Evely, and Bryson Burge, who was on the only round short of placing, was able to pick up a fall. This ends the season for Norton's junior varsity boys. However, some will fill some spots in the lineup at regionals to try to compete to go to state. Results for the girls' super regionals held at Russell on Friday and Saturday, February 14th and 15th. In team scores, Norton Community High School placed first with 187.5 points. Oakley High School placed second with 184.5 points. And Hoisington High School placed third with 148 points. There were 39 teams competing. Coach Brockelman reported that the Lady Jays had a thrilling weekend, qualifying 9 for the state tournament, and they were able to secure a regional title over the currently number 1 ranked Oakley. While Norton qualified 9, they needed the points from everyone on the team with a small margin of victory of 3 points, and this led them to the decision of making the whole team the Wrestler of the Week on the girls' side. Norton crowned 3 champions, Kaysen Miller, Hallie Fine Still, and Cadence Greason, all of whom won all of their matches by either fall or tech fall. Norton had 1 third place finish in Isabella Garrity, who lost a close one in the semifinals and was able to battle back and avenge a loss to Belle of Hoxie. There were 2 fourth place finishes in Dolly Braun and Sophia Kane, who both wrestled very well, and they were able to make it to the semifinals and came back to get into the consolation finals where they both fought hard. Adriana Winters was Norton's lone 5th place finisher. She was able to cap the day with a pin, and after getting caught in a headlock in the consolation semis, she bounced back well to finish in 5th place. Lorelei Granberry and Allison Quintana rounded out their last qualifiers, both finishing in 6th place, having great first days. Allison made it to the semis and lost to the eventual champion, then fought hard and was still able to be on the podium after 2 close matches. And Lorelei also lost to the eventual champion and regional wrestler of the year, Hahn, in the quarters, and they blazed her way to the consolation semis, losing a close match to Dietz of Trigo and then Smith of Oakley. Coach said he's very proud of the girls, as since the Buffalo Invitational, they've talked about bonus point victories and how they can make the difference in a team score. And Norton's girls did a fantastic job working for bonus points, which allowed them to be crowned regional team champions. The girls will have a week off, and then their 9 qualifiers will be in Hayes to compete at the state tournament at the end of February. Your menu today for Eisenhower Elementary School. For lunch, you'll be having taco crunch, peaches, tossed salad, chocolate cake, and milk. For Norton Community High School and Junior High, your lunch today will be biscuits and sausage gravy or funnel cake with sausage, hash brown patty, fruit, and milk. And for Northern Valley Schools, your lunch today will be corn dog, potatoes, vegetable, and fruit. I'm Natalie Hadley. Your KQNK News was brought to you by Firebolt Ag, LLC, farmers helping farmers to succeed. You can contact Firebolt Ag today to get the most out of your farmland. Your KQNK weather forecast is being brought to you by Hinkle Termite and Pest Control, your Norton experts for all of your pest control needs. Your forecast for today, there is a slight chance of snow before noon and then a chance of snow after 1 p.m. Should be cloudy with the high near 14 and an east wind around 15 miles per hour. The chance of precipitation today is 40% with little or no snow accumulation expected. For tonight, snow mainly after 8 p.m. with a low around minus 8 and wind chill values as low as minus 23. There should be a northeast wind of 10 to 15 miles per hour tonight with a chance of precipitation of 90% and new snow accumulation of 1 to 3 inches possible. On Tuesday, there'll be snow with a high near 2 and wind chill values as low as minus 27 with a northeast wind of 10 to 15 miles per hour. The chance of precipitation Tuesday is 90% with new snow accumulation of 1 to 3 inches possible. And on Tuesday night, snow is likely, mainly before midnight. Should be mostly cloudy with a low around minus 12 and wind chill values as low as minus 22 with a north wind Tuesday night of 5 to 10 miles per hour and a chance of precipitation of 60%. I'll be back with the rest of your weather forecast in just a moment.
When you've got bugs, we know what a nuisance that can be.
Lock 'em out. From Hinkle Termite and Pest Control, Lock 'em Out is our very effective residential insect prevention program. We'll come to your place and treat your foundation plus all insect entryways. And while we're there, receive a free termite inspection. Call Mr. Rich Wenzel, our certified technician in Norton, at 785-202-0167. That's 202-0167.
Continuing with your weather forecast, on Wednesday, it should be partly sunny and cold with a high near 5. On Thursday, mostly cloudy and cold with a high near 9. On Friday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 23. On Saturday, it should be sunny with a high near 41. And on Sunday, sunny with a high near 49. Currently, with light snow, it is 10 degrees. The humidity is 85%. The wind speed is east at 13 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is 30.18. The dew point is 7 degrees, and the current wind chill is minus 5 degrees. Your weather was brought to you by Hinkle Termite and Pest Control right here in Norton. You can call Hinkle Termite and Pest Control at 785-202-0167 for all of your pest control needs. It is 8:24. It's time for Kansas Sports. That's being brought to you by United Northwest Federal Credit Union, where everything they do for you.
United Northwest Federal Credit Union is excited to announce that it will host their 76th annual meeting in person at the St. Francis of Assisi Parish Hall in Norton, Kansas on March 24, 2025, beginning at 5:30 p.m. Supper and prizes will be provided for those in attendance. Reservations can be made by calling 785-877-5191 by March 18, 2025.
KIN Sports, I'm Brendan Dworzynski. The Kansas State Wildcats saw their six-game winning streak come to a close this weekend when they lost on the road to the BYU Cougars 80-65. That drops the Wildcats back to 500 in Big 12 play. While K-State actually outscored BYU in the second half, a brutal start to the game doomed Jerome Tang's group. Kansas State trailed by 18 points going into halftime. Doug McDaniel had another big game despite the loss, scoring a game-high 22 points. Brendan Housen was the only other Wildcat to score in double figures with 12. K-State shot 41% overall for the game on Saturday, but just 29% from three and only 53% at the free throw line. The Wildcats will try to get back in the win column tonight when they take on the Utah Utes. Utah enters tonight's tilt fresh off a shocking upset win over Kansas this weekend. This game also starts a stretch of five consecutive games for the Wildcats against teams in the bottom half of the Big 12 standings. They won't play another team over 500 until the season finale against Iowa State. Tonight's game in Salt Lake City is scheduled for an 8 o'clock tip-off. Kansas Information Network Sports, I'm Brendan Dworzynski.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and shared its overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/agnow.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ag Council.
It's true, many of us spend more time thinking about what's for dinner than preparing for retirement. But if you think your retirement needs deserve more attention, I agree, and I'd like to help. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Philip Eisenhagen. Together we can give your long-term retirement strategy the attention it deserves. Stop by our office at 418 East Holm here in Norton or call 877-3373. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.